Good afternoon, friends. So my vote for at the park in two Sundays was that we would provide food for everyone, just for the record. I voted for the food, but we decided not. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers. Today is a special day for all of them to celebrate them, whether they're with us or not, for those of our fathers or father figures. When we can praise our perfect Heavenly Father as well. I like Father's Day. I like Father's Day more than Mother's Day, not because of our mothers, but because my dad, one year he just asked, "Hey, I just want to take a nap. That's all I want from you." I was like, "Easy, done. I'm done. Like, I don't have to do anything. Just leave you alone." Praise our perfect Heavenly Father for all of our dads. Today we'll be starting, continuing on in our sermon series, Living on Mission. Before we do that, I have a question for all of you. Have you ever been asked why you do a certain task a certain way? Or why you do a certain chore or project a certain way at work, at home? If you're a parent or married, you get this a lot. or if you've been a child, which it's safe to say all of us have been, we usually ask this question at some point, right? Right. And so when I first got married, Selena, as some of you know, I'm a huge Rangers fan. New York Rangers hockey. thank you, I heard a clap there. Woo, let's go Rangers. So when Selena and I got married, she, to her credit, was interested in the sport. She wanted to find out what I was so passionate about. And so she watched a few games with me here and there, and she would start asking me questions. It's all new to her, right? She would ask, "Oh, why is the referee stopping the game for that? Why is the player doing that thing that way?" And this one time, this player jumped on the ice, and the entire crowd started booing that one player. And she was like, "Oh, that's so sad. Why are they booing that poor man?" And you know, it's a funny incident, but at the heart of it, what she is basically asking is, what is the purpose behind why they're doing what they're doing? Why are they doing it that way? And so for us this morning, we're going to be talking about, for us as the church on mission, why do we do what we do while we're on mission? Why do we do that? In other words, what is the purpose of being on mission in our everyday lives? So let's pray before we jump in. Lord Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we get this opportunity to worship you, to love you, to speak about you and pray with our church family for all of the ways that you've impacted our lives, but also the ways that you will. And so we thank you so much. Lord, we pray that you'd protect this moment. Holy Spirit, would you give us all eyes to see and ears to hear? But Lord, we pray that you would help us, equip us, continue to equip us to be on mission in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, before we talk about that question, let's read a passage from 1 Corinthians 10:31. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's our answer. We can all go home. No, but that's the answer to our question, to glorify God. That's what our everyday mission is supposed to be. It's not a new concept. For many of you, you've heard it. You're probably for your entire lives, especially if you grew up in a church setting like this one, right? We've heard verses like, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship, or let your light shine so that others may see and give glory to your Father in heaven. We could go on and on. Scripture gives many examples of how to do that, right? But it doesn't change the answer. Our lives are meant to glorify God. And so, you see, the Corinthian church, as many of you know, was in heavy conflict. For many of them, it was a massive challenge to figure out living life the Jesus way. And one of the topics that Paul gave them clarity on was about eating food offered to idols. Now, we don't have that issue too often. I hope not. But they needed some clarity and guidance. And so Paul wrote this letter, part of this letter, to give them clarity. But at the end, he says, do all for the glory of God. So he's admitting there's a how to live our lives to glorify God, right? That's why God gave us a massive chunk of his word, to guide us, to help us live out that transformed life, because not all of us know how to naturally do that. So he's admitting there's a how, right? He says, so in whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, so he's admitting there's a how, because it's vital. But it's not the how that's the most important part. It's the why. Why? The why informs how we live our lives. And that's to do all for the glory of God. So whether you're working, you're playing, you're in school, or whether you're struggling in life or you're thriving, do all for the glory of God. That is our mission. But I want us to go a little deeper, because I know many of us have heard this our entire lives, right? And if it was easy, we wouldn't need to be here. We wouldn't need to be in a transformative community speaking about this, right? And so our problem is not necessarily understanding this mission. Maybe for some of us not here, but but the problem is not understanding the mission. It's more of the challenge and the strategy before mission. We try to put so much emphasis on how do I share about Jesus? How do I go about doing this? How do I do that, Pastor? How do I do this? What is all different lists of problems we have? But Paul is reminding us about the mission first and the why. In other words, we put a heavy emphasis on the how do we go about mission rather than on why we are in mission. So, to remind us, whose mission is it? It's God's. It's God's mission first, right? And what is that mission? In 2 Corinthians 5, it says this: for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And why did God do this? Why did God reconcile the world to himself? Because of his deep love for us and his deep desire to have an eternal relationship with us. That is his why. That is God's mission. Now, that should be very comforting and stress relieving for us. Why? There are a bunch of reasons, but I'm only going to tell you two for now. The first one is this. It takes all the pressure off us. It takes all the pressure off of us as messengers of God, as 2 Corinthians mentions. We are messengers of the message of God to the world, right? God is making his appeal through us. And you know that phrase, don't shoot the messenger? There's a theme there. It's not supposed to be pressure on the messenger. It's not supposed to be the hardest part for the messenger. Have you ever been part of passing a message as the non-sender? Like, have you ever had to do that between a parent or friends or siblings? It can be a little stressful. I admit that, right? You want to say the right words a little bit, but it's ultimately not you sending the message. That's why we say don't shoot the messenger. So I'm oversimplifying it, of course. But the point still stands. It's not your message that you're passing, that you're sharing. You're sharing God's message to the world. Now, the second reason. Because salvation is not a responsibility and never was meant to be. Never was meant to be. Remember, salvation belongs to the Lord. It's his free gift to us, to your friends, to your family members, to each and every single person. I think we can all get behind this. We're pretty comfortable with saying, I don't need to eternally save every single person on this planet, right? I think we can be comfortable with that. But for many of us, including myself, have said at some point in my life, in our lives, we've said, oh, I don't know how to, I don't know enough about the Bible or theology to disciple others. Or maybe we don't see people because of our jobs working remotely or just not having the opportunity to see people. Or we have the exact opposite. We see too many people and we don't know what to say to them about our faith. Or maybe we're not really supposed to, whether it's a written policy at work or not, which it shouldn't be because that's illegal. But but when we also say, my life is just too messy right now to be on mission. While some of it, these are legitimate challenges, some of them, all of these sentiments put the focus and pressure all on ourselves, as if the mission is all about us and our efforts and our strategies. I remind our parents each and every single week that salvation is not their job as their kids' ministry pastor. Salvation is not their job. That's Jesus' job. Our job is to plant, as parents, are to plant seeds of faith and allow God to work in those. So that is God's mission. Remember that. That is God's mission, not yours, not mine, not Pastor Jesse's. That is God's. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So take that pressure off of yourselves each and every single time you talk to someone. Take that pressure off yourself because it was never meant to be there. So, that still begs the question, though. What's my role? What's my why? Why are we on mission? Yeah, exactly, Jude. Why are we on mission? I think we can all embrace that message from 2 Corinthians, that we are messengers of God's message. But what is our why? And so, for most of us, we know this. Our why started with Jesus, right? His life, his death, and paying for our sins on the cross, and we get new life through him so that we can live a transformed life, so that we can disciple others and show others the Jesus way, so that we can glorify God. The chief end of discipleship is not simply to make others disciples of Jesus. That is not the chief end to discipleship. Chief end is to make other disciples who make other disciples who all glorify God. That is our mission. To glorify God in our bodies, in our everyday lives. Isaiah 43:7 reminds us of this. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. So anyone who is called by God's name, we are meant to glorify God. Now, that is every person's why for who said yes to following Jesus. But we have another one, we have another why, a deeper why that's personal. So for those of us who have said yes to Jesus, we often call this moment our testimony or our story, our why. Why do we follow Jesus? So if you have been following Jesus, whether day one or day 1,000, you have a story to tell others about Jesus. But in fact, you have not one story, but many stories. The plural, stories of faith. Yes, your faith in following Jesus had a beginning, but it didn't just end there. Why? Because life kept going. Life kept coming at you. Did you stop suddenly? Do you live, are you no longer Anita? Are you no longer Ashna when you said yes to following Jesus? No, you are still that person and life still keeps coming at you. So unless this is the first time you've heard about Jesus today, which I don't think it is, you have many stories of faith. Many. Many. You have so many stories of faith, but sometimes we get fixated on that singular testimony and story as if it defines our entire life, which in a way it does, but it's not the only one we get to share. And so whether that could be God's movement in our lives about how he has loved us in a way that no other person has, or maybe he's given us hope from a concrete place in himself, or maybe for you, it's joy that has nothing to do with circumstance. You have those stories to share about your life. So ask yourself, how has God moved in your life lately? And share those stories. Not because you are putting the focus on yourself, but because you are acknowledging and celebrating the blessings that God has gifted to you. Those are our whys. Our whys, our why for why we follow Jesus definitely had a beginning. And if you are still breathing, your why keeps on building up. And I assume everyone is breathing right now. So that means you have stories to tell. Now, maybe I sense some hesitation there. It's possible that you're thinking to yourself, my testimony or my stories are boring or they're nothing special. Maybe that there's no major crisis that has happened in my life. And it's possible that you even started looking down upon your story or feeling a little embarrassed, like it's average or mid, right? Or vanilla. Vanilla's great, by the way. Vanilla's great. Or maybe you grew up in a setting much like this, where we may say, oh, you know, you have some trials that occurred in our lives, but overall we'd say not much has happened in my life. Sometimes we even begin to think that and feel ashamed of our stories, as if nothing huge has happened in our lives, therefore it's boring. And therefore I will just forget about it. This same sentiment is what Paul was calling out in Timothy. Right? He was telling him, hey, look, I know you're struggling with your faith. I know you're struggling with leading in your context. But he tells him this in 2 Timothy. Paul says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. You see, Paul is reminding Timothy and us that the gospel and its effect on our lives is nothing to be ashamed about, because shame causes us to forget. Shame causes us to look upon our stories as if they are boring or somehow less than. And I would suspect many of us have heard powerful stories of coming to faith, ones that are filled with tragedy, ones that are filled with crisis. And for many of them that I've talked to, they wouldn't change what has happened in their lives because the prize was Christ. But oftentimes when I ask them, had they wished they had gone something differently? Things had gone a little differently? They wish they didn't have to experience so much pain to get to Christ. And I can sense that some of us need to hear this. Count it a God-given blessing that you did not have to go through epic tragedy or crisis in your life to follow Jesus. Count it a God-given blessing that you did not have to go through major tragedy to believe in Christ. And that he met you in everyday moments, just like the ones you live every day. And I would suspect that for many of you, you saw someone else living out their lives in everyday faith. And that piqued your interest in some way, shape, or form. Isn't that living on mission? Someone or someones showed you what it looked like to live everyday faith that piqued your interest. And God used that interest to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. So share your stories of faith and live every day remembering your why. Put it on a post-it note somewhere. Put it on your wall somewhere. But make it apparent about your everyday why. They don't have to be grand stories. They can be as simple as a coworker coming up to you and saying, "Hey, Ashley, how was your Sunday? Hey, Moses, how was your Sunday? Hey, I heard a great message about hope, and you know, it just reminded me that I have hope about this certain circumstance in my life." It doesn't have to be grand. It's part of your everyday life. People like hearing those things. In fact, I was just at a plant nursery this past Friday during my Sabbath. And this guy, the owner, Dave, he says to me, "What brings you here on a Friday afternoon? Because, you know, this is a work day." And I was like, "Oh, you know, today's my day off. I get Friday and Saturdays off." And he was like, "What job gives you that?" And I was like, "Ooh, I'm excited, I get to tell." No, and then so I said, "I'm a pastor." And he was like, "Oh, huh, you don't really seem like one." And I was like, "Come on, Dave, I'm just an everyday guy. I'm not out here trying to pastor every single one of you." Like, but those are my points. That's my point. Just share your everyday life with them as if it's just a part of your everyday life. It's okay to share that. So, I want us to end our time a little differently today. So, Pastor Jesse shared last week a good list of all the ways we can live on mission in our everyday lives. And so, we're going to put that back up on the screen. But I want to end our time answering this question in pairs, in threes. Try to talk to someone you haven't talked to this morning. But we're going to answer this question. What is one way in your everyday life that you can be on mission? I'm going to give you 5 minutes. But answer that question. What is one way you, in your everyday life, that you can be on mission? So.
Can you put that first?
Sure, yeah.
I really like that.
Sure, there you go. So 5 minutes, talk to someone you haven't talked to this morning about how you can, one way you can live on life. And I'll come back. And I'll come back to finish this off. Let's circle it back, friends. Let's circle it back. Let's circle back, friends. Let's circle back. All right. Would anyone like to share the one way they're gonna live on mission to fill up this board? Here you go.
Mm. I thought if I tell him about Kairos and, you know, maybe he can open to, you know, giving out how happy I am in my faith, and maybe that'll bring him around.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's, I don't know where he is at.
Hmm.
Really lost touch, so.
All right.
I'm thinking I'm going to do.
There you go. Keeping in touch with a relationship. There you go. What else? Anyone else willing to share? See, Christos looks like he really wants to share with us.
I looked at you because I thought you were. But I'm also.
Hey, Christos, can you come back?
Every Monday, like, you know, you should go up to your coworkers, like, oh, how's your weekend? I don't know, usually you have a conversation like, oh, I did this, that, went to church, did that, this. But sometimes. There's like a particular Sunday where like something unique happened. I might say like, oh, like this thing happened at church. And like, oh, it's so cool. Yep. Just having those regular conversations with the people.
There you go. How about one more? There you go, meet a need, right. Well, the list, not there, but that's okay. So we're gonna fill up this missional connection poster, right? 30 connections this summer. We did it last year. And the point is not to fill it up. The point of why we're on mission every day, why we make disciples who are also disciple makers, is to give glory to our perfect Father in heaven. Right? So as you go, keep those one way of how you'll be on mission. Try it this week and see how God moves. See how God moves. Let's worship our God.